Welcome to Fired Up California. I'm your host, joined by my co-host, Tyler Collins, and we're sparking off 2025 with a showdown. California's EV mandate versus Trump's rollback. State rights or national sense, Newsom's 2035 gas car ban is revving up against Trump's unleashing American energy push. EV sales are slowing, but the stakes are still sky high. Then we encourage you to stick around for our California Cali Blitz. And that's our lightning round, and we're going to catch the state's hottest headlines. So let's roll. But actually, before we begin, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and check out our work at YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora, under the handle Grumblings Media. And before we actually get going again, Tyler, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today, William?
Busy, busy, busy day. Today is what I call podcast day here, and I enjoy doing a couple of podcasts. Gonna do my sports podcast and my culture podcast. And as we were talking off screen, Ukraine relates to both of them. In my podcast, my culture podcast, it's celebrity a-holes. You know, we support Ukraine, yet not one of them going to send a dime over there. And my sports podcast, you know, is even going to have MAGA in that today, because Chris Cluey, a former NFL punter, was screaming bloody murder simply because in a library, Tyler, there was a MAGA acronym, but it meant something else. It was like magic or something. It was a completely different.
They got triggered.
Yeah, he got triggered. He got triggered, and they fired him from.
It was a false trigger.
Yeah, but he went on. He went out. So I'm going to enjoy doing those. And what about yourself?
What am I up to? I have a pretty relaxing Sunday, actually. It's my wife's mom's birthday, so I get along fairly well with the in-laws. So I know a lot of people that's challenging, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So
my in-laws did not like me, but we got along well enough. They were hardcore Democrats, and they knew I was a hardcore conservative, and they didn't like that. They thought I turned their daughter into a conservative. They never realized your daughter actually was a conservative.
That's a problem. I got the same deal. My wife's whole family, they're all Democrats. But I walk in the door and I leave the politics on the stairs. And then I do family time. So
I always give them a jab. But we took care of them. They passed on recently over the last few years. But family's family. And when they needed our help, we were there for them. And, you know, you can't change who your blood is. And you may always have your differences, but you must take care of one another, even if you don't get along. And with that, let's get down to it. Okay, let me introduce this topic. We're going to talk about California's EV mandate versus Trump's rollback, state rights or national common sense, as I call it. And so California's EV clash with Trump obviously is something that's going to be a major topic. EV sales, meaning electric vehicles in California, they've slowed in 2024. There's about a 2,000 unit increase. They've slowed down, so the numbers aren't as high as they were. And yet CARB, which is our California something, it's what it falls under. I have it in
the California Air Resources Board.
There you go. Thank you, brother.
But I'm not that smart. I had to look it up on ChatGPT before this, so
I have it in my notes somewhere. But yeah, you know, but anyway, though, they cite falling prices. Batteries are down 20% since 2023, and 100,000 plus chargers are in place for the drivers, and we're going to get into that. But at the end of the day, we've seen brownouts and we've seen lines in video of cars needing to be charged. So you know, we're looking at a balancing act here from automakers. They invest in EVs globally while eyeing Trump's gas car push. Well, Trump is saying, look, the people want gas. You know, they don't want EVs, and the sales kind of show that. But here in California, Tyler, you know, Gavin Newsom, he's leading the charge. He's framing Trump's moves as an attack on California's air quality legacy, promising a robust defense. So what do I mean by that? Well, they've got a waiver. California has a waiver, which means we can have tougher restrictions. That's been given to them, meaning – It's not their right to have that. It's just the federal government has allowed them to happen for the greater.
And this goes back, I believe, all the way back in the 60s and the 70s to the establishment of the EPA. And California was given this carve-out, if I understand.
Correct. Because of the smog. See, I don't know if you were alive back then in the 70s or maybe if you were a little baby, but I remember seeing in the video, in the news, not video, but the news, you see California was all brown. There were times, and they still have it today. You'll hear it, but it's a bit rarer, but stay inside. You know, but that was a common theme. So you are absolutely right. And so they're asking for this carve out to continue in terms of the EV. And Trump is saying, no, I'm going to follow the rules and kick this to Congress. Now, the OMB is saying, well, that's not really how this one works. But they only advise. They're not a regulatory agency. So Trump's going to kick it to Congress. They don't have the votes to give them permission to do this. And that's triggering this fight that Newsom says is an attack on California's air quality legacy. And I don't believe it is an attack. And the CARB chair, she advocates for the mandate's national importance, saying that there are legal and tactical ways it can combat this. Then there's Nancy Skinner from the Energy Commission, and she emphasizes adaptability in implementing EV laws. And she's trying to be more diplomatic, while President Trump, you know, he's moving towards, hey, we got to go back to fossil fuels.
Drill, baby, drill. That's what he's all about.
So. At the end of the day, one reason we have brownouts, Tyler, is because they shut down a lot of fossil fuel energy, and they never replaced it. And now we
and
have
not just fossil fuel. Don't forget San Onofre. We shut that down.
Yes,
and they're going to potentially shut down Diablo Canyon. That's going to be a disaster.
But they were supposed to shut that one down already, and they delayed it. Why? Because they know it's a massive failure. I mean, we're already failing with brownouts. You know, it wasn't so bad this past summer, but the summer before, boy, it was terrible. You know, now the auto industry, Tyler's, they're skeptical of meeting the 2026 targets, and there's dealer concerns over consumer demand and infrastructure gaps. Infrastructure gaps being, they may say, what they say, well, did I say earlier, 100,000 charging units? We are a state of 31 million. And what do you do with the rural areas? You know, and all this costs money, and all this is going to task our grid. So I'm kind of all over the place with my notes here. So let me jump into a question here for you. Okay, real quick though, before I do that, there's a Wayne Weingarten from the Pacific Research Institute who says EVs remain a niche product for the wealthy, citing high costs, range fears, and insufficient chargers. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's kind of true, but kind of not. Used Tesla prices have gone down significantly. But the question is, can you charge your Tesla and get to where you want to be and actually function at your job? So for a brand new EV, that's you got to be $100,000 plus salary, if not more than that, to make that make sense.
No, you're right. And that is what the median is. There are 100,000 salaries of 100,000. They tend to go to white or Asian affluent people, and they tend to be more progressive. So to me, he's right. It is a niche. Now, Trump's team plans to repeal the California waiver via the CRA, which allows Congress to reverse recent regulations with a simple majority. That's what I was talking earlier. They're going to kick this waiver request to Congress.
And this is what this fight now with Newsom and them is all about, basically.
Yes, it's an upcoming fight because it has not happened
yet.
But they have to follow the EPA guidelines, though. So if Congress says you don't get the waiver, there's a 1 to 2 year process for all this to wind down. And that's where California can litigate this. They're going to try to run out the clock on Trump is what will happen. However, we've seen the Supreme Court step in more and more when the lower courts get it stupid. For example, is DOGE. Obama appointed leftist progressive activist judge says you got 24 hours to release all the funds to these overseas companies, and the Supreme Court came down and said no, that's not how this works, you know, because he saw the judge was playing politics. So I don't know if this is going to wind up at the Supreme Court. because they do have 1 to 2 years of a process in place. Now, California said, hey, we can sit there and round up support. Before we dig into the actual polling, what do you think of them being able to
round up? You're going to round up support. You're going to go to Napa Wine Gardens and get some petitions for more EVs. You're not getting working class people to rally for, oh, we need to make our cars more expensive, the things that we rely on to do our daily life. Who is supporting this?
Well, you know, that's a good point. And one thing I think, Tyler, that is going to destroy this battle, and for example, we talked off camera about Ukraine. I haven't seen the article officially, but somebody posted that CNN was reporting Trump's polling is up because of the Zelensky, you know, fight. And what I told people, hey, when something like that happens, we may be Democrats, Republicans, but we tend to rally behind our country. You know, and that seems to be what's happening. And the reason I bring that up is I believe a lot of that has to do with social media, seeing the video, seeing the data, seeing all this stuff that the propaganda machines used to be able to hide because all we had was the New York Times and the Washington Post in terms of national type papers and the USA Today. And these were all leftist papers. And I think it's going to be tough for them to rally support because of social media. Your thoughts on that? Am I looking at it wrong or right there?
Yeah, it's changed the game. Now we can just see the information. Before, everything was through CNN or Fox. And now Trump just tweets something. You see it right there. It's right before your eyes.
Yeah. You also have sales drop data. There's a $7,500 EV tax credit. And that boosted sales by
This is a federal credit, right?
Right. Trump's shutting the valve off of that. Now, Newsom and Democrats are saying, no problem, we'll subsidize it. Tyler, do you see anything wrong with that picture of them saying, hey, we'll subsidize something? Like, where's
the money? We did an episode last time about Survivor financial apocalypse. That's where California is at. And now you want to take on the responsibility of this multi-thousand-dollar federal subsidy and say it's fine?
Right. Now, in defense of this, 40% sounds like a big chunk, but I want to present this. So right now there's about 283,000 sales. So take, you know, so you're looking at, I'm sorry, maybe 400,000, a 30% drop. It does drop it down to into 300,000. But those numbers, what I'm trying to say is it's not as big an effect as you would think. But it also exposes the fact we're not selling many EVs, and one is the price. I think you hit it. You get $100,000. For me, I used to want to buy an electric car. Then I saw the nightmare of maintaining it, how badly built they were. And while I agree with you, you know, Teslas are out there.
You know, the other thing that I looked into them too, the resale value. People are really skeptical about the resale value.
And what happens when you need a new battery that costs $20,000? You're looking at your car that you paid $50,000 with your discount. You paid $60,000, $70,000. But still, $20,000. It was up at $30,000. There are junkyards, Tyler, that I have seen pictures of, and they're filled with nothing but electric cars that people have abandoned because they can't afford it. They're like, look, we're going to run into this. Especially the ones where it unexpected, like the battery dies after the warranty. You know, it's. I think it's a train wreck waiting to happen. And let's see. So some of the market realities. Brian Moss, the president of the California New Car Dealers Association, told the Union Tribune the 35% ZEV target for 2026 is unachievable, citing slowing sales growth. And your thoughts on that? I mean, what I guess my question to you is, it seems like government arbitrarily throws due dates out there, not realizing the reality. In today's current economic cycle, do you see us – and there's no right or wrong because we don't – I think I know, but do you see us hitting those numbers?
I totally agree with you there. I think government, they just throws out things that they wish could be true. And then you hear people like Brian Moss at the California New Car Dealers Association. People are actually on the ground day to day meeting customers. And he's saying, this isn't going to happen. Who are you going to trust?
Exactly. So one of the tactics they are going to use to fight back, remember I told you it's about 1 to 2 year process naturally, is the legal. They even talk about that, you know. This could take months or years because lawsuits will come out of California and allied states. To me, that means it's going to head on up to the Supreme Court. And if I'm Trump, I try to expedite that. I sit there and I request, I don't know how they do it, but Trump can request the Supreme Court, hey, just ignore all these lower courts. Let's just take it up at the Supreme Court level. And with 11 states wanting to join in and follow California's template, I kind of could see that happening. We don't know if it will, but your thoughts, could you see something like that happening?
It's funny you're mentioning all this about running out the clock and speeding things up. It reminds me of like your sports podcasts, but yeah, that's the deal. So there's the ball and here's the position on the field, and Newsom and his buddies know that they can try to run the clock, but Trump could say, well, let's just take this to where the buck stops, the Supreme Court. So we're going to skip all these other layers in time and expense and just go right to the heart of the issue there, which it might just eventually end up at.
Oh, I agree. So let's look at something here. Let's take a look at some of this polling here, Tyler. Let's look at a Gallup poll of March 2024 that showed 9% are seriously considering an EV. Those are the hardcore, I'm seriously considering. Notice I didn't say I will buy an EV, just seriously considering. 35% might consider it in the future. 48% would never buy. That said to me, Tyler, that 44% that is considering an EV, I'm thinking half of that, they aren't going to buy it. Why? Because in polling, especially when it comes to race issues, we're not talking, but just an easy example. When you're asked about race issues, people tend to answer how they think the poller wants to hear them say. So in other words, if somebody says, are you a racist? And if you're a racist, you go, oh, no, I'm not. You know, that's an extreme example, but you get my point. They're going to answer in how they think the audience wants the answer to be. And I think with electric vehicles, that's one of those type of scenarios, because everybody wants to be seen as helping climate there, you know. So your thoughts on that, am I wrong or right or somewhere in the middle? Your thoughts?
Yeah, polling's tough because just the way they ask the question, or if you feel pressured, you could answer in a certain way, but ultimately are people buying these vehicles? And the drop in sales is really showing you how people are actually feeling. What are their actual actions?
Exactly. So there's another poll, the AP NORC/EPIC from June of 2024. So it says 9% own an EV, 13% own a hybrid, and 42% somewhat likely they lean toward intent but not firm on owning it. And my point in showing you these numbers is that they're really low. So, for example, ownership grew from 4% from 2022-23 to only 7-9% in 2024. You know, interest peaked at 40-43% about that time, but then it dipped from 29-35%. I'm throwing a lot of numbers, but the gist of this, Tyler, is it's single digits in terms of ownership. Interest was around 40%, but the reality is that even that dropped in 2024 to about 30%. And the reason I think is because we had a crappy economy. And rejection rate, here's the important part, rose 41% to never in 2023, 48% in 2024 that will never own one. So what you're saying is half of the nation is saying, I don't want this. 11 states want to follow California's blueprint. See, so to me, if this goes to SCOTUS, with 50% of the country not wanting it, to me, it's kind of a slam dunk. And before we get into the California polls, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was looking at the numbers you're talking about, and these some percent of people already own it. Well, the hardcore greenies and the limousine liberals, they already have their EVs. You can't – what are you going to do? You're going to take someone who already has an EV and – you can't make them a new EV customer. That's already happened. The only market you're left with are the hardcore people who just hate electric cars, and then the people in the middle who are kind of like, if it makes sense financially. And that financial argument so far It just hasn't won for these people. Especially, like you said, with the economy.
Let me throw a wrench in here. I didn't put it in my notes, but there. This is a California podcast. I was going to explain the nation. This is California. So we have Riverside County, which is about an hour and a half, I guess, a couple hours away. And people buy homes there who work in San Diego because that's the only place they can afford a home. Same thing with L.A., Riverside County. You know, they buy homes there because they can afford it and they drive. If you're going to mandate these things and the charging becomes an issue, the lines become an issue, the cost of the car becomes an issue, I think that's another potential nail in the coffin that Gavin Newsom doesn't really care about. What I'm saying is they're going to reject it, but Gavin Newsom is so full of himself, he doesn't care. I mean, if he can shove this down those people's throats, he doesn't care about them. What's that say about Democrat politics and how they view the state?
Well, the people out in Riverside aren't really the ones represented by our, you know, the hardcore Democrats of our state officials. It's all the coastal elites who have the funds and they have the charging infrastructure right there in Berkeley, and they can go to the university and get their little coffee. But that's not the same deal for someone who hauls freight and maybe they live out in Temecula because it's cheaper and they can get some land.
I also question the polling. If you go to the barrio, if you go into the ghetto, hey, what you think of electric cars? You're not going to get the 60% of Californians support the 2035 gas car ban mandate. Because that's what the LA Times reported this year. You know, and that's not a raw poll number, but it's cited as a public sentiment. So they're implying majority interest in EV transition. And what I read that as, we don't really have to add your phone number to this, but that's how they're feeling. So it's not truly a number there, but that's what they're saying. Again, let's go back to what we talked about briefly, the demographics. So 25% of new car buyers chose ZEVs, which is about 400,000, suggesting 25% firm intent among active buyers.
And can you just explain to the audience what is a ZEV versus an EV?
A ZEV is, my assumption was, it was a hybrid.
Okay, good. Just to explain that for the audience. So,
all right, hold on one second here. Well, Tyler, we quickly looked it up, and what is it for the audience here? A ZEV.
So ZEV is not a Z electric vehicle. It's a zero emission vehicle, which includes electric vehicles, but also things like plug-in hybrids and hydrogen fuel cells.
So I may not have been technically right, but it includes all of them. But in essence, they produce no tailpipe exhaust emissions of any criteria, pollutants, or their precursors. That's impressive for a hybrid, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a plug-in hybrid, because depending on them, you can go around and do your daily shopping just on that small battery.
Right, and that's the reason I will not buy a hybrid, an EV in California. It's not that I don't want to support it. One, they're too expensive. I don't feel for my income level on how many it's worth it. Two is I'm going to start going once again to the Republican Party events, the once a month down in Town Center, which is in San Diego, people. It's close, very close to the San Diego city limits. I live in a rural area. That's a 45 to 50 minute drive. You know, there and back on an EV. Oh, wait, you'll get there. Yeah, but I don't want to be stressing. You know, I'm already old. I don't need a heart attack. Hey, will I make it? And here's
I got a friend who has a Tesla, and it's like every time I call him to meet somewhere, he's like stressing, like, oh, my battery's at a quarter charge, or my battery's at a half charge. Let's meet here instead. Because it's range anxiety. He gets range anxiety.
Yeah, so and it's not that I don't want to support it. It's like I'm a realist. I'm a pragmatic person. And I don't think I think sales would be cut much, much deeper without these subsidies, you know. But here's the demographic real quick before we close this out, though, so the people know who in California are buying this. And then give me your thoughts. The income level, 50% are over 100,000. In terms of income, 75% of the purchasers are white or Asian, or as Democrats, when they're battling Asians, call them the other white me. And for those wondering, I do have Chinese in me, so get off my back. But they have called them that. Why? Because they don't fall under your typical minority demo, is why. So education, 50% or more, Tyler, are college graduates, which goes to my Riverside comment, the working class, which goes to my polling comment. Who are they actually polling with these questions? The average age is 30 to 44. 42% of the people are 30 to 44. The geography.
So these are yuppies, basically. These are yuppies.
Yeah, but look at Tyler with the old school term, yuppies, man. That was an 80s term. It is. That's where it started. Was in the 80s. I forget what they call them now. They don't call them yuppies anymore. I can't remember what the term is now, but I'm older anyway. But anyway, the geography, 80% are urban, suburban, San Fran, L.A., Orange County. It makes sense. They're not in the Central Valley, you know, or in Barrio Logan, you know, or Compton, you know. And the politics, 60% are Democrat. Your thoughts on those demos?
Yeah, it adds up with what I've seen in real life. My wife, her family, they live in UCI Hills, and it's like every car is a hybrid. It's like these are all just extremely well-paid government employees, mostly white, and they like to pat themselves on the back because they're saving the planet.
The white suburban woman, as I call them. Here's a quick joke that I saw though in the on the bumper sticker of a Prius. Just because I own a Prius doesn't mean I voted Obama.
I've seen those before. It's like, you know, someone has a Prius, they're like, "Don't worry, I'm not a libtard or something."
Yeah, exactly. And how I said this isn't how it was, because that would have made it a lot of bumper sticker. But the bumper sticker pretty much said that in a very condensed version, you know. So Tyler, a poll show roughly 2/3 of Americans don't support EVs. In the Yahoo poll, it was 57%, and in the Gallup poll again, 48%. I'm never buying. Is forcing this through mandates immoral? When people might just say what they think posters want, meaning it could be even lower than that. To me, this is a travesty because I try to think from the perspective of the working man, the poor person, because that's where my family came from, and we have a massive segment of that, including illegals in the state. And I'm like, this is going to be a major drain on their pocketbooks. What are your thoughts on this, the demographic and polling data?
That kind of goes to the heart of the difference in morality between Republicans and Democrats. For a lot of Democrats, what the majority decides is moral. That is the definition of morality, is what the majority thinks. But Republicans, by and large, I think have more steadfast or firm definitions of what is right and wrong, and that goes down to the individual.
I can't argue that at all. Now, I think you may have answered, but if you didn't, do you think people tell pollsters what they want to hear in certain situations?
I couldn't believe – so you talked about that concept about people, like, telling pollsters what they think sounds good.
Yeah.
I would never do that. Like, it just doesn't sound, like, right to me. Like, who cares what some pollster thinks of me? But I looked into this, and a surprising amount of people, they'll answer, like, what they think the pollster wants to hear or what sounds like the appropriate attitude to have.
Exactly.
Which is crazy, but it happens.
Right. I knew that for decades ago because when I did my startup, I couldn't afford a survey and questionnaire, so I bought about 4 or 5 books, and I became a semi-expert on it in terms of how people think. The most important thing I learned that I actually saw in action immediately is there's a certain way to write the question you're asking to get a fair and neutral and unbiased answer. Then when I got
something that I wanted to touch on as well. So think about who's writing the polls and conducting them and what agenda do they have?
You know, and I saw that politically speaking, that's when I really first saw blow up. And ironically, the first time I experienced it, and he's doing a great job right now for California, is Carl DeMaio. But when he was running for Congress, the most biased polling, and then I learned this is all coming from the DeMaio camp. I mean, I'm trying to think of a question. It's one of those questions where you're damned if you do or you're damned if you don't in terms of how you answer it. It would make Carl look good and make Daryl Issa look bad, you know, in terms of the polling. And I was like, who's doing this polling? And then I went to the van. Oh, that's Carl DeMaio's group. That's right. Yeah. But that's how Paulie works. And I'm not knocking Carl. They all do it. I am knocking Carl, but
yeah, a little bit. But
yeah. But I'm saying Jess. I mean, he's ripping. He's doing a good job. He's smart. Carl DeMaio is in. I just sent a page to my Fired Up team, the national team where we cover national politics, because we're all San Diegans. I go, this is why Carl DeMaio is a force. And I send him all this data. I go, Brian Jones isn't doing this. You know, Andrew Hayes didn't do it earlier. You know, it's like, this is why he's going to become a force, because he's incredibly smart. You know, anyway, Tyler, any final words on this topic before we move on to our Cali Blitz?
Cali Blitz. Yeah, I think we just about summed it up. It's going to be really interesting to see how this develops and to see whether Trump can get this quickly to the Supreme Court, or Newsom and his cronies are going to drag this out. But we'll see.
That's true. And whether California's 2.2 million ZEVs, zero emission vehicles, and 400,000 sales hold the line, we will see, or we're going to see Trump's rollback rewrite the road. 2025 does set the stage. State defiance or federal muscle? Only time, and as Tyler said, the courts will tell. All right, my friends. Tyler, let's move on to our lightning round, the Cali Blitz.
And Cali Blitz.
We take stories from around the country, I mean, around the state, and we briefly talk about those. So the first one is, Bonta shrugs at California's ashes. Dead or alive, he's got the votes locked tight. I apologize to Chicagoans with the dead or alive. We know y'all have the hold on the dead voter. My dad, 19 years old, Tyler, just a couple years ago said, pretty soon I'll be voting Democrat. So Bonta's legal priorities. So our Attorney General Rob Bonta seems to be chasing headlines over statewide relief. He's pouring energy into high-profile lawsuits against Trump and Musk and Doge, and siding with other AGs, giving us splashy statements. He's prioritizing national political clout over California's pressing crisis, and he's dodged local accountability. So, for example, there's a lot of stuff he could have done in fires from a couple years ago, the current 2025 fires, and then he did not protect the people when Jorge Gascon was letting criminals and murderers and rapists out through revolving doors. For example, to the audience, if somebody pulled a gun on somebody, a criminal pulled a gun on the innocent person, Gascon would ask, well, did he shoot you? Well, then that's not really a crime if he didn't. I mean, it was that bad. And he did nothing to protect the constituents. And the reason I bring this up is because he's going after Trump and Doge more than looking at ways to protect our wildfire victims at the moment. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really sad to see. Again, this kind of reminds me of, we talked about Karen Bass and the wildfires, and Democrats prioritizing political goals over helping ordinary people. And we see this with Bonta. He's going to go after Trump and Musk instead of solving things like crime and all the wildfires. And he should really be focused on that instead of this.
I agree. I mean, in 2023, the wildfire victims, they faced unchecked looting. And he did nothing. 2025, the same thing. And when he could have also fought price gouging, and he could have pushed for greater relief funds. But he didn't care because he already has their votes in the pocket. He won't change because he's looking at climbing the political ladder. All right. Speaking of wildfires, the Cali Blitz 2. L.A. wildfires, the recovery czar, a loser, but he has a point. And what I'm referring to, Tyler, here is that Steve Soboroff, I think that's how you pronounce it, Soboroff, he's been appointed as the L.A. wildfire recovery czar by Mayor Karen Bass. We talked about this last week. He was going to make a hefty $500,000 for 90 days of work, and he was kind of forced to accept nothing because of the backlash. Okay, I will do it for free. However, the L.A. Times reported that on February 7th, He was giving a speaking engagement of sorts, and he vented his frustrations. Actually, I don't know if it was February 7th, but it was in February. He's an alumni at an alumni forum at Harvard Westlake School, and he claimed he was lied to about his compensation. He emphasized that this is costing him, that he's not a billionaire, that he needs to sit there and make something. You know, so he walked that back after the LA Times reported it. But the cat's out of the bag. He's pissed that he's not getting paid his 500 G's. Your thoughts on this?
This kind of sounds like the Democrats are having a tough time keeping a cohesive front. We got some fracturing, and the backroom negotiations are getting out in the news a little bit.
Oh, I agree. However, to me, this also reeks of cronyism. He's likely a well-connected insider. He likely got tapped for this gig with a wink, you know, and a nod. He was expecting.
Yeah, Pig's not happy he got pushed away from the trough. He wants his oats. Yeah.
But here's the problem. He should get paid something. I mean, you unless you're a billionaire or worth $100 million, you should be compensated for your time in a realistic fashion. But here's my issue. Well, that's fine. Quit then. Nobody's got a gun to your head to keep going with the job, but I think he's not going to quit because he's hoping for a payout. And on the flip side, Bass and Newsom don't want him to take a damn dime, so the papers don't use that against him. And they're hoping for not Santa Ana winds, but the winds of forgetfulness. You know, so we put this behind our rear view mirror. Do you think he's still banking for a payout in this? Because he could quit, don't you think?
Well, the other thing that comes to mind is, what is Bass or Newsom going to promise him down the line and say, all right, this isn't the news right now. You can't take a salary. But guess what? 1 year from now, 2 years from now, we're going to line you up for this great thing. So who knows what that's all about, too.
See, I think that's what he's hoping for. If he quits, we'll know that didn't come through. And look, he's a low man on the totem pole. Newsom has presidential ambitions. Karen Bass, whether she realizes it or not, she's at the end of her road. So they can promise him the world and not actually commit anything to it. All right, let's stick with the L.A. wildfires. This one's going to blow your mind. The ugly truth is emerging. So the L.A. Fire Department, they identified over 1,000 fire hydrants needing repairs during inspection conducted months before the devastating Palisades fire that took place January 7th. They didn't take place. They happened January 7th. I mean, it sounded like an event. Oh, it took place, you know. But they failed to notify the Department of Water and Power until mid-February, just a week or two ago. Your thoughts on that blatant disregard for safety?
This is just bureaucratic dysfunction. This is just the worst of what you'd think that California is, this kind of mismanaged, misrun Democrat fiasco. This is just an example of that.
Tyler, some of these were damaged as far back as January 24th. And you hit it on the head. There was one time where they only told them there were only 200. Something bureaucratic. It's such a vast behemoth. It needs to be more centralized, smaller units operating certain specific areas, and it funnels into a system. But it appears that's not happening because the communication broke down. And this raises the questions about whether low water pressure during the blaze was linked to these unreported failures. We'll never know. But you're right. It's a systemic dysfunction, and it's a leadership fallout. When you hear something like this, do you think that there's legit justification in firing Christine Crowley?
There could be. I mean, is that why she got fired? No. But, yeah, if you're the fire chief or you're high up in the organization, yeah, you are ultimately the one who is responsible for the performance of the organization. Exactly. And this is just unacceptable.
Exactly. All right, well, as time trudges on, I think the L.A. wildfires are going to peel back layer after layer after layer of negligence. And it's going to expose why these fires are arguably the worst in California's history. However, the accountability.
We could make a new segment. It's the onion of negligence and mismanagement.
There you go.
Every week we'll just peel back another layer.
Yeah. And the rebuild, Tyler, is going to be nothing but a Democrat crony fest. Overpriced, underdelivered, and death to residents. Please, whereas they're going to do everything that they can to create their smart 2.0, and the developers are going to be rewarded. Here's a catch 22 as I did my research for our podcast. It just dawned on me. The developers, they make all their money when they get these new suburbs, these new housing developments, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't care about safety. I've seen that firsthand serving on the planning group. They want a minute. They don't care anything about safety. They just want to build the structure and then get it sold so they can make their money. So what happens if there's no safety measures in place? It all burns down. Who benefits? The developers. They come in and rebuild, you know? It's just like this vicious circle. So here's one I don't know if you'll relate to, but I relate to because I live in the rural area. YIMBYs, the clueless crusaders of catastrophe. YIMBYs is just in my backyard. And State Senator Scott Wiener is consistently pushing for high-density housing in wildfire-prone areas. And that's happening again. And however, there's been pushback. And he has something called SB 610, and that's looking to override local zoning. There's being pushback on this, but they're fighting that. Don't you think there comes a point that we see through him being so developer-aligned and creating more dangerous situations? They're not. I guess what I'm asking is he's attacking everybody. He's saying we need this housing, but he's failing to realize – we don't have the infrastructure. And to let you know, Tyler, we were supposed to have a 10,000 homes or 5,000 homes built here, but we didn't have the roads. We didn't have the fire stations. And they didn't care about putting that in. Their answer was like, we'll deal with that after we get the homes put in. Your thoughts on this type of political mentality?
Well, in the city of San Diego, I know that a lot of that stems from their push towards getting out of the car, using public transit, using a bike. And they're going to build the units in the high density, and there's going to be no parking. But that's all part of the plan because you're going to use public transit. And so it all goes together with the green agenda, Cities 2.0.
Well, I got to be honest. Wiener, and Wiener's a pig. The man, and a side note for y'all, you want to know about Wiener? He's the guy who's pushing to do away with laws against pedophilia to support him, allegedly. He says it's not worded that way, but when you actually see the wording, you're like, hey, this means that they don't have to register as sex offenders. He went to the San Francisco Gay Pride Parade, and there's a lot of video on oral sex at the parade and then urinating on the guy after the oral sex. And I don't mean to gross you out, but he's also the same guy saying, hey, yeah, bring your kids over to the Gay Pride Parade. You know, to me, that's a sick individual. If that's what you want to do, that's great. But don't show kids that. When they're 18, they can have that conversation. That is who Scott Wiener is, and he's pushing for more destruction because his developer masters don't care how many die once they build something because a fire just means more new business for the developers. These are my words. I don't want y'all to think this is Tyler's words, but these are my words and how I view it. All right, Tyler, any final comments on that one before we move on?
Yeah, this whole local control thing, for my race in Carlsbad, this was a big deal. There's cities all over the state that are trying to push back against this, and a lot of times it seems like it's the big bullies in Sacramento versus the little guys at these city councils, and just we want to retain the character and charm of our communities, and we're feeling like the Sacramento is just taking away the charm of our cities, and people like Scott Wiener are the ones doing this.
Exactly, exactly. All right, hot take number – or not hot take, but the Cali Blitz.
Blitz.
Yeah, California's curriculum conundrum, forcing indoctrination over education. So in a nutshell, what happened here is a state versus Cajon Valley showdown. On February 26th, California's Department of Education petitioned the San Diego Superior Court to compel Cajon Valley Union School to adopt a state-compliant – sexual health curriculum. The school board said, no, we do not believe in teaching LGBT plus QA through ZBT, Scott Wiener, gay pride parade crap. That's pretty much what they said. And the state is demanding them to teach this. My issue with this is the state is more concerned with the indoctrination and the sexuality of our kids than teaching them basic STEM, you know, science, technology, math. I always forget the E. What's the E, Tyler?
STEAM, you mean. Talking about STEAM, engineering.
Yeah, engineering. Okay, yeah. It's STEAM. Yeah, some people say STEAM and include arts in there for the A.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. We have to be well-rounded. I do believe that. To me, it was Spider-Man and Batman. But they're trying to force this. To me, this is just California continually pushing, we want to indoctrinate your child. We don't want to teach him. And we don't care about STEM or STEAM. We care about all our ideological beliefs. Am I looking at it wrong? What are your thoughts?
I think you're looking at it the right way. And I wish every article we went over wasn't just like making me pissed off, but I read that and because the California Democrats, they'll talk out of both sides of their mouth. They'll say, on the one hand, we don't want creationism in schools. And the other hand, they're going to say, well, actually, Cajon Valley, you need to teach LGBTQIA plus whatever alphabet land stuff, and you're not doing it, so we're going to sue you. So what do they want? A values-neutral curriculum that we as a society can agree on? Or do they want to push a particular ideology? Because you can't have both.
Exactly. And let me backtrack a little bit, not in what I believe, but and Tyler will probably agree to this. We don't care that you're gay. We don't. What we care about is there's a time and place to teach this to children. And that's a conversation that parents need to have, and decisions can be made by that child once they turn 18. I mean, if they're gay, come out of the closet, that's fine. But we don't need a school indoctrinating this and then keeping it secret from the parents, as has happened and has been documented in this state. So I don't care that you're gay. I just think it's a parent's job to teach sexuality along those lines to a child, not the states, and especially when they're funded by these pride organizations that believe you can take your child to a gay pride parade where they are fellatioing and urinating on one another. And that's the videos there. So what are your thoughts on that, Tyler? I mean, my point is I'd imagine you don't care that they're gay either.
I don't care. If you want to do that in your own home and you're two consenting adults, that's not the purview of the state. That's you as an individual can make that choice. But that doesn't mean the state gets to tell other people, parents, how to raise their kids.
And you're right. You brought it up, I think, indirectly. You know, they don't want you teaching Catholics or Christianity, you know, or this or that. So I'm like, just teach the kids STEAM. So, but I do have an issue on this, though. Parents are waking up. They're fighting back. We made great strides once COVID revealed a lot of what is being taught. But my issue here, Tyler, and I don't want to put you in a spot because I know you're still very involved with the Republican Party, but the main Republican leaders, they're MIA until the heavy lifting's done. Then they swoop in post-victory. They claim part of the glory, and then they campaign on it without breaking a sweat. And we're stuck in a slog because we lack a united front. Parents and grassroots warriors, they tend to do the heavy lifting. Then community voices come in, and then the GOP brass comes in at the very end. So until we get a coalition of all those groups to gel together, we're going to have a brutal uphill battle every time. And when we are losing ground and we are exhausting ourselves, these parents to hold the ground, and these parents age out. Once their kid's gone, they kind of stop the battle. And unless we have somebody on deck to keep fighting, it's a brutal uphill battle. Am I looking at it? Please, I want you to tell me I'm looking at it wrong, but I don't think I am.
No, we're on the same page there. And just to add to it, this is why the Democrats are winning, is because the Democrats do have this cohesive strategy in terms of we have county parties, state parties, national parties, local parties, and all the infrastructure works together in harmony as a well-oiled machine.
Right. I agree wholeheartedly. I always tell people, you want to learn how to fight? You take the Alinsky tactics and you apply them to the righteous truth. Because we just care about the data and the facts. But we need to fight like
that. And it doesn't even have to be immoral like Alinsky, like this Nietzschean sort of Machiavellian thing. It can be just about organization. The Democrats are just extremely well organized, and if Republicans want to win, we have to do the same thing. We need to be very well organized.
Well, they're organized. I think what you're trying to say is the Democrats have built-in coalitions.
Yes.
They take their organizational level.
The Republicans are organized, but we're not an effective organization.
Right. And now, again, you know, and I'm giving props to Carl DeMaio here. I got an email from him because we all know Carl DeMaio runs the Republican Party now. It's an ugly truth. And I saw an email talking about, they didn't say ground game, but that's what it was talking about, rebuilding the ground game. We're going to have a topic on the ground game. I've got about 4 or 5 pages of great notes of the ground game before Tony Cavara took over and through state California, through the state party, gave an edict, no more ground game. We're going to go to more technology. And then how, from that point forward, San Diego exponentially started to turn from deep red to purple to now it's a deep blue. So Carl is creating change, and people who don't like him, and I have had my issue with him, but this is why he's going to be a force to be reckoned with for years. Carl's only flaw is going to be Carl. You know, he's got to learn when, you know, when, okay, I need to rein back a little here. So, but that said, Cali Blitz number 6, leftist hypocrisy trying to make hate legal. Settlement details and a curriculum change. Look, the Santa Ana Unified School District in California settled a lawsuit filed by Jewish organizations, it doesn't matter who it was. It was just Jewish organizations. So on February 20th, they agreed, the district, to disband 3 ethnic study courses. One on world geography, world histories, and ethnic studies. Those are the 3 of them. In essence, Tyler, they were teaching anti-Semitism. They purposely set up meetings where Jewish leaders weren't included in creating the curriculum. And in essence, they set up Israel as they're the reason for all the problems in the Middle East. It was a lot of anti-Semitic hate. And the reason they're able to win some of these is because you still have to follow the Brown Act. The Brown Act is a legal thing of keeping your ethics up front, being fully transparent. And they weren't. 2 questions for you. How the hell did they get away with this anti-Semitism? And 2, and I don't know if you have the answer because I don't, why are Jews so hated? You know, I mean, they seem to be like the poster child for hate from many pro-Democrat groups.
Yeah, it's been a really sad turn of events in the last few years that you've had this pro-Palestine wing of the Democratic Party and the progressive ranks has completely gone off the rails in terms of anti-Semitism, and now it's leaking out into things such as Santa Ana here that we're talking about and creating curriculum that's anti-Semitic. And so it's just completely unacceptable.
You know, some of the comments that I found that were stated in terms of the teaching, they were expressing these type of teachings that Jews are the oppressors, unquote, or quote, Jews are the oppressors, unquote, quote, Jews greatly benefit from white privilege, unquote. And some of these were developed in secret, thus violating the transparency of the Brown Act. And there's also something else called the AB 101. And it also exposed crude anti-Semitic remarks and a deliberate effort to circumvent the public. You know, my take is it's about damn time anti-Semitism faced a real pushback. And this settlement should have included some kind of money they should have gone for to make them feel the pain, but it's an overdue smackdown on hate toward Jewish culture and its people. Look, Tyler, I'm Latino. I have black and white in my family. You know, Americans have spent decades rightfully fighting racism against black Americans, Latinos, and others. And it's high time anti-Semitism got the same treatment, zero tolerance. There's no excuses. And I just don't understand why the Democrat Party that is supposed to be the champion of all this is leading the charge in this. And I don't expect an answer from you, but final thoughts on this before we move on to the next one.
Yeah, it's pretty perplexing, and it's, like we talked about, it's really disturbing and sad that this is the direction the so-called progressives have gone in recent why is it that now, okay, the Republicans are the ones fighting against anti-Semitism? This is just total flip of the script.
No, I think it's a perception they want you to believe. But we are the party that was created, the Republican Party, to help free the slaves. We're the party that pushed to get women to vote. We're the party that pushed to get child labor laws changed. We're the party that enacted the Civil Rights Act. The Democrat Party is the party that hired the best damn marketer after the Civil Rights Act was created, was enacted and flipped the script. To me, and let's not forget, the Democrats are the party of the KKK.
I meant it's so blatant. Like that you had the Democrats where, okay, white privilege, everything, this and that. But now they're using, like you quoted, blatant anti-Semitic things in curriculum that they're proposing. And somehow it's like the horseshoe theory. They've gone full circle, and now they're just, you know, on the side of the Nazis, and they want to – it's very disturbing.
No, I agree. All right, Cali Blitz number 7, illegals before citizens, San Diego's taxpayer-funded VIP treatment. Now, this is old news that many people don't realize. And the only reason I brought it up, because it started in April 2022. Our San Diego Board of Supervisors is giving $5 million a year to cover legal fees for immigrants facing deportation proceedings. Tyler, we talked, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, that the San Diego Board of Supervisors is facing like a $120 or $150 million shortfall, and they're still paying this $5 million. Your thoughts?
It's terrible. Why are we spending all this money? I mean, we still have National City to clean up. Well, due to their incompetence and mismanagement, it completely flooded because all the flood control systems were clogged with trash from homeless camps. Why are we spending money on people who aren't even citizens? Let's have a go to benefit the Latino communities and other communities in National City.
That would probably fall under the city, but there's ways that the county and cities have worked together to help one another out. But I get your point, because look, we have our own issues. We don't have an infrastructure here in Valley Center. We fall under the Board of Supervisors. So they want to build more homes, but they haven't built a new road in San Diego, in Valley Center, in 6 years. Not to mention, one of our so-called rural evacuation routes doesn't exist, because you go a mile and then you run into private property and the fence up there, you know, then it's a dirt road. There's this. So it's like, and it may not be 5 million, maybe 6 million. You know how they play with numbers. But man, my take is, look, California's leadership, exemplified by the Democrat Board of Supervisors, is hell bent on prioritizing my brethren Latinos, but they're illegal, over we taxpaying citizens. You can't funnel millions into legal aid for deportees while the state's infrastructure crumbles and homelessness festers. All right. Cali Blitz number 8, illegal alien center out of business. And the people, you want to know why I say illegal alien? Because it triggers the left. But technically, that's a legal term from the government. The AP has slowly over the years shifted it with the Democrat help to give words that kind of like make you feel for the illegal alien. Oh, they're just poor little immigrants trying to earn a dollar, you know. So, and I'm sure you saw this. The Jewish Family Service of San Diego, it's an NGO. You know, it was being funded, and Doge has cut the funding off. But even though the funding has been cut off, they had their lowest – nobody showed up. They weren't processing illegals. Once Trump took office, the gravy train in terms of the open borders kind of stopped. You know, it had assisted over 248,000 migrants with temporary housing, meals, transportation. They treat them better than the homeless since 2018, and it is gone because the border crossings dropped sharply. So they've laid off the 115 employees, and they're citing changes in federal funding and policy. My question to you, Tyler, is your thoughts on that? But they were also
– I like how they phrased they laid off their employees because of – changes in federal funding and policy. What they really mean is we actually have a secure border now, so we don't need to exist anymore.
Exactly. And then they're crying the blues because 115 people got to find jobs. Hey, I feel for them. I've been in their position before. But at the end of the day, they wanted to keep the money going to do nothing, to sit around. Or
I feel bad for the employees too. Like, if I got laid off, that would really suck. But it's not fair to our taxpayers to be funding things which shouldn't be funded at all.
Exactly. So when you follow and enforce the law and put America first, good things happen. Shocking. All right. Cali Blitz number 9. The leftists cling the cushy gig, sobbing, "It's for you. It's for you we're working for," as taxpayers foot the bill until breakthroughs make them millionaires. So what I'm talking about is, again, NIH funding cuts on San Diego's health and science ecosystem. In essence, for the average place, you get about 20 to 30%, 40% funded through charities, through private investors. The one here, UC San Diego, was getting about 60%, and a good chunk of it was not going to research. It was going to everything but research, and an associate professor is crying the blues. In essence, what she's saying is, we can't continue our lavish lifestyle off you tax dollars, off your tax dollars, and we're pissed about it. Your thoughts on that? I mean, my point, Tyler, is, you become efficient, you become lean, you actually put the money you get into the research like you're supposed to, not into higher, fatter salaries for items that you don't need, but use the money for how it's supposed to be used. Your thought?
Well, perhaps there's an argument to be made for government funding of disease research, cancer research, but it needs to be run efficiently, and there has to be accountability. And we don't need to be funding Sesame Street in Iraq. They have a lot of these headlines of $100 million cut for UC San Diego. But if you really look at the numbers and how much was actually going to particular important programs like actual cancer research and actual heart disease research, there's a lot that's going to administrative or other things that – I saw some study a few years back. They were watching – like $15 million to study earthworm mating. Things like that that get lost in the fine print. It's just ridiculous.
They were watching earthworm porn.
I think they were making earthworm porn. It's even worse.
Look, claiming $100 million in losses and thousands of preventable deaths, that's just a complete scare tactic. UC San Diego got nearly $600 million in federal awards in 2024 alone. I also researched this, and I did a paper on it in college. All these breakthroughs that are getting hundreds of millions of dollars, the public doesn't see a dime of it. Once a breakthrough happens, you see San Diego or the groups they're employing. They're the ones who own it. So we don't even get any form of payback. They reap the patents, the prestige, and the profits. Right now, there's 15 therapies from NIH-funded work that they're reaping all the benefits from. Taxpayers see nothing. That's another major issue I have with this. It's not a true partnership. It's they're taking our money, they're using it to create future profits down the road. Granted, they're helping us, but we are $37 trillion in debt. Could you imagine if we've got it? Because we helped with the Viagra research. We didn't see a dime off that, the taxpayers. Yeah. All right, the final Cali Blitz. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have any final words on that?
No, that was good.
Okay, I thought you were going to tell us that you enjoy your
Viagra. Make some Viagra joke or something. I was trying to work something in there about orangutans and testing labs, but I couldn't.
Oh, I wanted to study Viagra on the earthworm.
Well, you know how they found Viagra. It was originally a blood pressure medication, and then They realized all the chimps in the labs had, like, you know, they said, maybe we can use this for something else.
No, that's common because I take supplements, and I take these supplements to get your pump flowing. And then this was back in the 90s, you know, get you that you can push harder, more while you're lifting weights and all that. Then, like 10 years later, I saw they're promoting them as also not sexual enhancers, but it makes your libido better. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's blood flow. But yeah, there's also I don't know which one, but there's also a hair. In Helsinki, they did some kind of trials for the palms, something to do with the palms, and one of the ingredients, the people came back, I got hair growing on my hands.
Oh, yeah. That's how they found, Rogaine or something? Or?
I don't know if it was Rogaine, but they found some way to help out. Okay, the final Cali take. We get off track so easily. Final Cali take. A grim tale of love and loss. Now, this was devastating. You know, in all seriousness, the nation doesn't know, not all of California may know, but on February 18th, Cal Fire Captain Rebecca Marodi, she was brutally stabbed to death in her Ramona home by her wife, Yolanda Marodi. She tried to break it off, said she met somebody, and this woman just flat out killed her. And what's scary is that after she killed her, 3 days later, she texted her friend, the murderer did, and said, "Becky came home and told me she was leaving me. She met someone else. We had a big fight and I hurt her. I'm sorry." I mean, there's footage of this that nobody's seen, but it's out there, and they show the captain fleeing the situation and saying, "Yolanda, please, I don't want to die." And I'm sure she wasn't saying like I was. And then she chillingly replied, "You should have thought about that before." So when you hear that, and then you see her text that she sent to her friend, "We had a big fight and I hurt her. I'm sorry." To me, that's like a Jekyll and Hyde scenario. Now, this woman is Mexican, and I'm not saying that for anything but the fact we reside on the Mexican border, and a lot of Mexicans have family nearby, and supposedly they caught on video her car crossing the border. Your thoughts on, and she's LGBTQ, and so that whole kind of thing came into play for the media. My take was, holy mackerel. My take is how vile we can be as humans, you know, and how, and here's the kicker, Tyler. She had killed her first husband and then married this woman. So there was there were telltale signs. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's a sad story. I didn't realize that last little detail. I don't know if you'd want to marry the person who killed their former partner. That sounds like a bad decision. But I'm not going to blame the victim here. That's really sad. And I hope that the alleged perpetrator is brought to justice.
You know, there were some rules I had when I was single. But, you know, and I never considered this one. But call me skeptical, Tyler. But hitching your wagon to someone who's already got a body count for murdering their last spouse, as you said, that's a gamble I wouldn't take with a 10-foot pole. So I'm not blaming her, but I'm like, what were you thinking? But then again, when you're in love, it's kind of like that wife in that domestic abuse. They think they can change the person, you know? And the twist of life even further, she's still out there free as a bird. You know, as a Latino, I know how SoCal works, and that's why my media thought she's in Mexico. And then when I did research, yes, indeed, they spotted her car crossing the border. So to me, this isn't about ideology. The media always playing the ideology, playing up the LGBT. To me, this is just a sad and brutal warning. A to Z, gay to straight, whatever. You know, you just need to choose your partners wisely, because making a bad decision could really hurt you, as this individual found out. So my heart goes out to her and her family, because it's a sad tale. Any final words on that before we close the show out?
Yeah, same thing. It's a tragedy, and I hope justice is found. So,
gosh, yeah, I understand. Well, folks, what can I say? We had another great show. Newsom's EV defiance to Trump's fossil fuel fight. That clash is just getting started. And will California's 2.2 million ZEVs, which is what, Tyler?
Zero emissions vehicles.
That's right.
We had to look it up.
Will they power Newsom through all this, or will the national policy shift gears? So we covered the heat, Tyler. Yeah, and our Cali Blitz. Woo! I thought we did a great job on that, covering 10 hot topics. We hope you Californians learned a lot. And before we go, bookmark grumbliesmedia.com. Hit us up on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblies Media. Like and share this podcast and give us your comments below. Tell us what you think of the EV situation. Tell us what you think of what we teach our kids. Tell us whatever the hell you want, people. We will respond. So thank you for joining us. I'm William Del Pilar.
And I'm Tyler Collins.
Stay fired up. Until next time.